OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, and my sincere apologies, folks. We were 3 seconds late getting on the air tonight.
And the world is going to end.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's one of those things that I always try to make it hit, you know, that launch sequence hit right at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Sure. You know, and I'm usually right there. I've usually got it nailed down. But today, I was out in the yard, I was doing some stuff out there, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh, holy cow, I think I better get inside. And I came running in here, and I was 2 minutes late getting our long music bed that leads up to the show started. Well, then, okay. I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, you know, Diane and I are talking on Skype, and you know, kind of hashing out what we're doing tonight. And I said, we might be 2 to 3 minutes late getting on the air. And then I realized I can fast forward a little bit while the music's playing. And so I did that.
Okay.
I did that not once, but twice. And I, you know, usually I can tell Diane to the second when that launch is going to hit. But sure. Tonight, it was like, we're going to be somewhere about 2.5-ish sort of kind of neighborhood minutes away. But I managed to get us within 2 seconds.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's not bad.
You did it.
Yeah, but I apologize, folks. I always like to be punctual.
Somehow I don't think anybody will notice 2 or 3 seconds.
Well, they certainly won't notice on the podcast, you know, because we cut all that foolish, you know, that music and all the, you know, lead up to the show. We cut all that out for the podcast because that's just background music. It's cool stuff, though. It's kind of funky blues, you know, which is kind of neat. But, you know, so on the podcast, if tomorrow, if people go to rspradio1.com and, you know, hit the podcast button in the morning, the podcast will be there and it doesn't really matter that we were 2 seconds late.
Right, of course not.
But I feel the overwhelming need to issue an apology to our live listeners. So.
Okay.
Outside of that, how's everything at your end of the world?
My end is holding up.
Okay, well, good.
You know, we're starting to get into the summer. We never know when the rain is going to, you know, suddenly appear for 5 minutes on one side of the street and not the other. And
hey, it happens. It happens,
yes,
you know.
We're coming into our summer season.
Well, I think we're there. Remember Tuesday night when you and I were doing the show? I was all excited because we had just gotten past our last possible frost date.
Oh, right. I remember
that. Today it was 92 degrees here. So
you're actually hotter there than we are here. Well, we never really get You know, everybody thinks Florida is 100 degrees all the time in the summer. No. Most of the times we're in the high 80s or 90, 91 tops. We don't really go higher than that. And for some reason, we get a bad rap that we do.
Well, you know, I think it's because, you know, you're deep in the South and, you know, but you're on three sides anyway. Your little skinny state is surrounded by water. So that kind of tempers that that heat down a little bit.
I think so, because we have the Gulf breezes always blowing over. You know, paradise here, even in the summer. In fact, it's warmer up north in the summer than it is here.
You know, here in the summer, here being north central Nebraska, we live literally in the middle of a desert. Now, it happens to be a desert covered with grass, but under that grass is where I live is all sand dunes. You know, so it's, you know, weather here is a little odd, but, you know, it is what it is. Folks, we got a fun, interesting show for you tonight. No real set segments. We do have some topics that we want to get into tonight. And towards the end of the show, I have a surprise topic for Diane. Now, I have told her that this is going to come as a surprise. I have not told her what it is. Now, maybe she has seen this in the news. Maybe she hasn't. I have no idea.
And I have no idea because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, but the reason I'm doing this is I want Diane's honest reaction, because I'm going to guess that her honest reaction is going to be a lot like mine was when I saw this today.
Oh, wait a minute. It just hit me what you might be dealing with. Are you dealing with Joe Biden and what he said about Alzheimer's?
Nope.
Oh, it's not that one. Okay.
Nope, it's not. This is a surprise topic for the end of the show. We're not going to spend much time on it, but I just want to bring it up just so I can hear Diane's reaction to this live on the air.
Okay.
But let's start with Governor Whitmer over in Michigan. This woman is a certifiable loon.
Yeah, she's very dangerous, in fact, this loon.
Well, she vetoed a bill recently, Diane. Tell people what the bill was.
Okay, what she did was she vetoed, it was actually a pair of bills passed by the State House that related to capacity restrictions at graduation ceremonies and open record requests during the coronavirus pandemic. In other words, her state's kids haven't been screwed enough by not being able to go to school, have prom, do all the things that seniors do. Now she wants to mess up their graduations, and she also doesn't want anybody knowing what went on during the pandemic.
Well, this is the governor, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the governor who made a rather unauthorized, shall we say, trip down to Florida during the pandemic, where she was seen and photographed maskless while she has her state locked down and everybody wearing masks in bed. She's down in Florida having the time of her life. Down there, drinking. No mask, drinking, big parties and everything. She just got caught a couple of weeks ago doing it again in her own state.
Yep. And she's sort of the female version, maybe down a notch, from New York's Governor Cuomo. That's what I like to liken her to.
That's a pretty good comparison, really.
I think so.
I mean, but so now the kids that are graduating, they have to have restrictions on the amount of people that can attend the graduation. And I'm sure that's going to include a copious amount of social distancing and, you know, all sorts of other things. She obviously doesn't give a damn about her own restrictions because she's breaking her own rules all the time.
Constantly. constantly. And like the one you mentioned, that was just last month when she was actually photographed at an indoor gathering in East Lansing. She was strictly violating the very social distancing orders that she had put in place.
Well, not only that, but you know, after she got caught, I mean, she certainly didn't own up to it until she got caught. But mm-hmm. once she was caught, once those photos went public, you know, she issued an apology of sorts. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. It was my mistake. And then she turns around and issues more restrictions on graduations. Now, I got to tell you, if I was the parent of a graduate in the state of Michigan, I would give her the finger and I would pack those auditoriums.
I would too. I would pack them to the hilt. But, you know, as bad as this graduation thing is, now, the Freedom of Information Act bill that she vetoed, that's even more important because it was denying the public's right to record requests. And she claimed it was to protect the lives of public officials tasked with responding to requests during the first surge of the pandemic. In other words, she was trying to cover her tracks of what she did and what she ordered during the first part of the pandemic.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what's in those records. Nobody does at this point, maybe right. besides her and a handful of people, and she's not going to let them, you know, leak out to the public. But I would guess that if you could look at those records, I would not be a bit surprised that she was advised strongly against doing all the BS stuff that she did. That she was probably told by scientists, this is unnecessary, you're going too far. And those records could actually show her abject malfeasance and her doing this strictly for political, not scientific reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Everything she's done is for political reasons. She thinks that, number one, she's going to be reelected again. She also thinks, hey, maybe I can run for president.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I know. She's a disaster, an absolute disaster.
She's a slow-motion train wreck.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, she's Joe Biden in a dress.
Yeah. I mean, every week there's some new malfeasance with her, some new rule-breaking with her, some, you know, high point of hypocrisy with her. Mm-hmm. It just happens over and over and over again. I know there's a lot of blue cities in Michigan, Detroit being one of them, okay, and Lansing probably being one of them. But I'm telling you what, I think even Democrats in Michigan have just about had it with her. That she should be looking at her own situation the way the situation is for the governor in California. Because she keeps this up, she stands a chance of getting recalled just like Newsom is in California.
I'm surprised that action has not, you know, seen the ball start rolling yet.
I am too, and I don't know how much more people are going to take. Even the Democrats, they got to be looking at us going, come on, we need our lives back.
Well, I think there's going to be a change in November 2022. I mean, if this keeps going, if the country keeps going like it is, I think that people like her and others like her, they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. Because this is getting ridiculous. And you know what else is getting ridiculous? The situation in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Because the goons there hit the streets, started looting, and started burning things again. Now, they didn't approach the size of the riots, at least not yet, of what we saw there a year ago. But it looks like it's all firing up again, and it's because the U.S. Marshals Service, while trying to arrest somebody wanted on, I think, felony murder charges, happened to be a black guy. He was not cooperating with police. He was not following police instructions. And I believe he had a weapon. Anyway, the guy got shot and killed.
Right. And rightly so. Seriously. You know, rightly so, because, you know, I'm sick and tired of the reports coming out about the police doing this and the police doing that. And it's always involving the police doing this and that to a black guy. What about all the stuff the black guys, the bad black guys, are doing to the police, whether they be white, black, yellow, pink, or purple? If they're wearing blue, they're the enemy. Why aren't we hearing about the attacks on them?
Well, you can find reports, but you got to dig for them.
Yeah, dig deep.
You know? I mean, look, it's pretty simple. When you get right down to it, this is all pretty simple. Okay, when the police tell you to do something, you do it. If the police tell you to get out of the car, you get out of the car. If they tell you to stay in the car, you stay in the car. If they tell you to put your hands over your head or on your head, you put your hands over your head or on your head. If they tell you to lay face down on the concrete and put your hands behind your back, you do that. You know, if the police tell you to put your left leg out, pull your left leg in, put your left leg out, and shake it all about, well, then, damn it, do the hokey-pokey, turn yourself around, because that's what it's all about. You can argue about it later in court. That's why we have courts.
Well, you have to understand, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but it kind of relates to this. Yeah, we have courts. Courts are well and fine, but the courts now are releasing these animals, that's what they are, these animals back into the streets based on their skin color, seriously.
Well, we do see a lot of that.
Well, today, I don't know if you heard, but AOC held a little mini press conference, and it's kind of related to this, stating that the way to stop crime is to stop building jails.
Right.
Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, that's crazy.
The woman is a bona fide idiot.
That's insane. Well, you know, if there weren't any jails, there wouldn't be any crimes. No, there'd still be crimes. There just wouldn't be any place to lock the animals up.
Right. She wants built instead many more mental hospitals, many more places those who are disturbed can go to and vent. I mean, the people in New York who voted for her are as dumb as she is. I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's possible.
Apparently it is. She's there in Congress.
Well, I mean, good Lord. You know, so the situation in Minneapolis last night was getting out of control again. I wouldn't be surprised, because this is the weekend. Things are going to get out of control over the weekend in Minneapolis. You know, here's the deal. This guy was wanted. There were warrants out for him. The U.S. Mm-hmm. Marshal Service, okay, that means the warrants are federal warrants.
Right.
All right? So they're being aided by the Minneapolis Police Department, but it's the U.S. Marshal Service that wants this guy arrested, and they're trying to effect this arrest. The guy isn't cooperating. And the guy makes a move. What are the police supposed to do? What are they supposed to do?
And by the way, he was armed. He pulled out a gun on the police during the attempted arrest.
Well, then he's going to get filled full of holes. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works.
Right, and it saved we taxpayers thousands and thousands of dollars in keeping this scum alive in jail for X number of years until he goes to trial and finds, you know, oh no, he's either mentally ill or his skin color caused him to do this, so we gotta be nice.
Well, you know, I'm getting pretty tired of that.
I am so tired of it.
You know, I mean, and here's the thing. if this guy would have happened to have been a white guy, nothing would have happened. Okay, he'd have been right. The guy would have been perforated by the police. He would have died right there on the street, and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, well, to make it even more grievous, basically, is there was a lot of looting going on in that area that night, and there was also anti-police graffiti found all over the place, including "kill cops, no trial for them." Now, part of this, I think, was also spurred on by the fact that Derek Chauvin's lawyers want him on indefinite probation instead of jail time.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's a good point.
And that could have been something behind this. But what people need to understand, seriously understand, is the man that they're doing all this for was a career criminal, a drug addict, a hardcore drug addict, a man tried to be arrested during the committing of yet another crime. This man was no saint, folks. He held a gun to a pregnant woman's belly. This man is who they're burning cities for, who the media has made into a saint, and now they're doing it again.
You mean George Floyd, the patron saint of fentanyl?
Yeah. Yeah. Peace be with him, right?
Right. I mean,
this has gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, you know, they're going to wind up...
only going to get worse.
They're going to wind up naming schools after that piece of trash.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Absolutely.
Where do you go to school?
Lincoln, Roosevelt, they're putting up Obama, is getting schools named after him. It's only a matter of time before we see George Floyd Elementary.
Yeah, where do you go? Where do your kids go to school? Oh, they go to George Floyd Elementary School.
Ish. If I was a parent whose kid went there, I would take them out of there.
I would, too. I mean, this is crazy, but we've seen it. You know, it's not just him. It's Mike Brown.
Right.
You know, it's going to be that girl. I can't think of her name now.
Breonna Taylor.
Yes, Breonna Taylor. It's going to, you know, they're all saints. Every one of them. They're all saints.
And they were all saints because they are black, killed by white police officers.
So I'm not
the
even
people who don't want to be judged because of the color of their skin uses the color of their skin as an excuse to riot, loot, steal, and commit arson, if not murder.
Yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much, isn't it?
It is. It's getting sickening. This isn't the America we all grew up in.
You know, we got a few minutes here until we get to the bottom of the hour, and we need to take a quick break for station ID. Let's throw into this mix in the next half hour, the final segment of tonight's show. We're going to be talking about Bibi Netanyahu and Burisma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in the few minutes that we have left in this segment of the show, let's talk a little bit about Alan West.
I love Alan West. Worked on all his campaigns here in Florida. Wanted him to run for president. And I would support him in any endeavor.
Well, you know, for the last year, Alan West has been the head of the GOP in the great state of Texas. But this mm-hmm. morning, he announced that he is resigning that post.
Yes.
What do you think he's going to do next?
Well, I know you think he might try to go against Abbott, but he wouldn't be successful in that. He's new to the state, and Abbott has done a great job for Texas. I personally think he's going to try to run for Congress in Texas.
I think there's a good chance that he could run for a congressional seat in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether he would run for the House or maybe a Senate seat. But let me ask you this. Do you think there's any possibility that he might be moving back to Florida with the idea that if Ron DeSantis, the current governor of Florida, makes a White House run, that he might run for the governorship of Florida?
I would love it. I would absolutely love it if he came back to Florida. I mean, I would support him for governor. I would support him for senator, for congressman, whatever he wanted to run for. I would support him like I've always supported him. It's a possibility. Is it a probability? No, I think, you know, he might be in Texas for a while, but maybe someday he'll come back here.
Well, I mean,
we want him to. We all want him to.
Every state ought to have an Alan West.
Absolutely. We'd be better off if every state had an Alan West.
I mean,
and you know what? He's a man that refuses to be judged by the color of his skin.
I mean, he doesn't see any need for it. You know, right. And I mean, he, you know, he came up the hard way, joined the Army. He had a great career in the United States Army. He's obviously a very intelligent guy. And he's been a former guest on our Right Side Patriot show in the past. You know, he's a remarkable guy to just sit and talk to.
Yeah, and it's funny that you bring him up tonight. Because on my desk, in my office, framed, is a personal letter from Alan thanking me for all I've done to help in his campaigns and supporting him for president. And it's tapping on it. That's the letter behind glass. And it's been sitting here since 2011.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the world of Alan West. I don't care what he runs for. I hope he's successful. He did say he's going to get back into the political fray as a candidate. He just didn't say for what office.
Or for what state, really.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all a matter of speculation at this point. But I think the only two possibilities are Texas and Florida. Texas, that's where he lives, so... You know, he'd have to, you know, uproot out of Texas, move back to Florida. Not that he would have any problem moving to Florida. His wife, Angela, seems to like Florida a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he could move in next door to you and then try to run for Debbie Downer's seat.
That would be the greatest thing ever. I mean, I would absolutely love that. But it would be very hard. This district that I live in, at one time I was even asked to run for her seat. But this district is so heavily Democratic. Pure sheeple.
Yeah.
Pure unadulterated sheeple. It's kind of a waste of time. She's kind of impotent in the Senate. I mean, in the House now. No one really cares what she says. It would be a hard fight going against a predominantly Democrat district person.
The only problem I could see with living next door to Alan West is on weekends he'd be out there firing up that Harley. You know, probably 5:30 in the morning to get in a ride.
Well, maybe I could borrow my brother's gold wing.
Well, yeah, then you guys could get the wind in your hair and off you go, you know.
No, right now I think he's eyeing a Texas congressional seat, but time will tell.
Well, I'll tell you, when he hits the campaign trail, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Alan West. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of money not only in Texas, but from across the country that goes to support a campaign by him, because people understand the quality of the man.
Yes, I know I will have my check going over to his campaign.
You know, I mean, Yeah, look, I don't care what state you're from, folks. If you don't have an Allen West, you need to go out and find one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. All right, so we made it here to the bottom of the hour. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bibi Netanyahu. We're going to be talking about Burisma and Ukraine. No, it's not. It's not a repeat of something that happened a couple of years ago. This is fresh Burisma news. And before the end of the show, I've got a surprise topic for Diane. She has no idea what it is. I want to see if her reaction live on air is the same reaction I had when I saw this topic.
And I honestly have, excuse me, have no idea what he's talking about.
So this will be fun, folks. Stick with us. More right.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Friday edition of the show, the 4th of June. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. And if you miss any part of tonight's show, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and be one of the pod people. We love our pod people.
Yes.
All right.
And we're gaining more every day.
We are. We are. And we thank people for sharing those podcasts, too. That's a big help to us. All right. So Bibi Netanyahu, it looks like he's probably on his way out as prime minister. However, he will remain as the head of the Likud party in Israel. But
not so fast. Not
exactly.
So fast.
He's both fighting mad and fighting back.
Yes. Now, what he's doing is basically he has called on the right-wing MPs to oppose what he calls the dangerous left-wing government that would be coming in. And he also attacked the United Arab List, which is a party which is trying to create friction between the Islamist Party and Jewish nationals they are now actually alive with. And this all stems from the ultra, ultra Orthodox Jews in Israel who basically have been fighting for years to get out of mandatory military service. In Israel, when a boy or a girl reaches 18, they're required to do a certain amount of military service. And this fight really while it's in the present now and it's about kumbaya, you know, Palestinian states, this, that, and the other thing, it really all stems back to this one issue of military service.
Well, excuse me, and then let me ask you the, I guess, obvious question. Why doesn't Bibi just say, okay, the Orthodox don't have to do this?
Personally, I think he should. It might temper this down a bit. But thankfully, he has a speaker of the Knesset who actually is on his side and could delay the confirmation process for up to almost 2 weeks, giving him time to sway. He just needs a couple of votes to really knock this whole thing out. And if he could knock it out, what will basically happen is Israel might have to go back to the ballot box for the fifth time in 3 years. Oof. But if he fails, he will be forced into what's called opposition, and he'll be hauled to court to face corruption charges. And they're trumped up charges, just like the nonsense against President Trump was.
Right, right.
You know, none of the charges are true. Here it is, the man who was fighting to keep Israel intact as a Jewish state is being attacked from within his own country. But there's a funny thing about the man who they want to replace him with, a man, his last name is Bennett. This man is actually even a bit further to the right than Netanyahu in certain issues, as he is outwardly vehemently opposed to a Palestinian state.
Well, and that's good on,
that's,
you know, for him. That's good. You know, but is he too soft in other areas? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be tough on thing A, but if you're soft on B, C, and D, then, you know, you've really lost more than you gain.
Well, that's the entire issue here. And what they're doing is they're now trying to throw allegations of racism against Bibi, because during one of the previous elections, he said Arabs are voting in droves. Now, is that racist? Arabs are voting in droves, meaning Israeli Arabs are voting in droves. That they're trying to make into a racist statement, just like many of the statements that Trump made, they tried to make into racist statements. Basically, what I think is happening here is Trump as president kept Bibi safe in Israel.
Right.
Because the Israelis in general absolutely loved Trump for everything he did, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, declaring Jerusalem the undivided capital of the Jewish state forever. But when Biden took over, and Biden, you know, you could blow down with a strong little puff here.
Right, right.
I think certain factions within Israel are starting to panic, and this might be a panic response.
But do you think 2 weeks is enough time to turn the tide, for Bibi to turn the tide?
Yes, yes. He is a statesman first and foremost. He knows the right way. I'm using the word manipulate, but not in a bad sense. He knows how to manipulate a negative into a positive by all the right means. And I think if he has that 2 weeks with the speaker who's on his side, with his help, he only needs a handful to go against this coalition. I think he could do it.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But I've got this nagging feeling that this is going to be it for now for Bibi Netanyahu. Not that he couldn't run again down the road, and he probably would. But, you know, there's just bad things that are happening. And, you know, like you said, this is comparable to the trumped up charges that they brought against President Trump. You know, these manufactured, you know, allegations and things. But, I mean, I hope Bibi can turn this thing around. I hope that he remains as the prime minister. But even if he doesn't, you know, as the head of his party, he's still going to wield a lot of power within Israel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't discount. I mean, this is coming out of left field, but don't discount Trump making some kind of statement or something regarding this situation. Maybe not for American audiences, but for Israeli audiences.
Good point.
It's very, very possible. So I don't count Bibi out.
Well, you really
can't. I'm not saying it's not possible, but he's not called the Lion of Israel for no reason.
No, that's a fact. So, you know, our best hopes are with Bibi, and yes. We'll follow that very closely over the next week or two. And obviously, if anything happens one way or another, we'll bring it to you here on Right Side Patriots. So, you know, the lot can happen even between now and Tuesday, you know, on our next
exactly.
show. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that and see what happens. Meanwhile, Burisma. Now, folks, you'll remember Burisma is the outfit that Hunter Biden was connected to. And this is, you know, old deals back to Joe Biden and his actual quid pro quo with Ukraine, you know, and all this. Well, as it turns out, we've now got evidence that a lobbying firm that's linked to Burisma was pitching, this is back in 2016, was pitching access not only to the Clinton campaign, but to Barack Hussein Obama, to a Ukrainian prosecutor.
Right, and this firm that you're talking about is called Blue Star Strategies, and it's actually under U.S. federal investigation for potential illegal lobbying.
Ooh. Now,
yes,
this prosecutor, I believe, is the prosecutor that replaced the one that Biden got fired.
Right.
Okay, so think about this. It's 2016. It's the months leading up to the election, folks. And here you've got a lobbying firm, this Blue Star lobbying firm, and they're telling the Ukrainian prosecutor that they can hook him up with the Clinton campaign and with Barack Hussein Obama.
Right.
Okay, the only way for a lobbying firm to hook the prosecutor of Ukraine to those two entities, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, is if they had a contact in a very high place.
Well, let's just put it this way. Apparently, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eastern Europe, the man by the name of George Kent, wrote to a number of Obama administration officials about a meeting he had with Ukrainian prosecutor Lutsenko in September 2016 about Blue Star Strategies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Gets more interesting by the minute, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
But now, hey, there...
Hunter got away with it all, and so
well,
did Uncle Joe.
So far, but the problem is now for Team Biden is that the only two people that could provide those contacts are either Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, mm-hmm. or the combination of Hunter and Joe Biden.
Exactly. But Craig, we're faced with the Democrat, you know, House right now, and nothing's going to happen.
Well, you know that, and I know that. But the problem is the truth, regardless of what actually happens, the truth has a way of getting out there.
The truth might get out there, but what's more important than the truth getting out is that the truth is listened to and you move forward with prosecution on the truth. You know, we're still waiting for Hillary to be arrested.
Yeah, and never going to happen.
And it's never going to happen. As long as the Democrats are in control or the majority of Republicans don't have a spine.
Right, right. You know, so, I mean, this is what we're faced with. Okay, the truth about Wuhan, China is coming out. Okay,
right.
But just like Wuhan, the mainstream media and social media, boy, if you say anything bad about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, you know, they call you a conspiracy theorist. You know, now, mm-hmm. you and I, you go back to, you know, 2020 and the months leading up to the election, you go back, you know, as far as basically 2017 and the first impeachment of Donald Trump, President Trump, you and I were writing articles and doing segments on this show about Burisma. I know I mentioned Blue Star. I think you did, too.
I did, too.
You know, because we had found this information that far back. And we put out these...
I did a whole article on them and what's going on now.
Right. We both did.
Yeah.
Okay, and this was years ago. Okay, now it's all coming to light. But back then when we did that, the liberals called us crazy. They said we were crazy conspiracy theorists, that you know, there's nothing to this, right? But now,
right.
Now the emails showing this and the testimony involving this is starting to see the light of day.
Exactly. Hey, we were right about COVID. We were right about Fauci from day one. And we were tagged as conspirators. Facebook was putting us in Facebook jail left and right. And we were right all along.
Yep. And this is going to prove out to be true, too.
Yes, it will.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Fauci. You mentioned COVID. Next week, Tuesday, you're going to have a segment on Fauci.
Yes. I actually wrote a letter to him, and what I say in this letter ain't pretty.
I've had a sneak peek, folks. It's a good un. It's what we up here in Nebraska call a good un.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like
I
an open
professionally,
letter.
Professionally, I don't, you know.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's an open letter. To Dr. Anthony Fauci, as I like to call him, Dr. Tony Baloney.
Okay.
And it's good. So you're going to cover that next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm covering, I'm going back to this whole, you know, business of wokeism. And I'm covering what I call systemic wokeism.
Ah, okay.
And it's going to open a few eyes.
Well, it's not what you call systemic wokeism. That's what it's being called now.
Well, it's going to open some eyes. Okay?
Yes.
It's, you know, I've done a couple of snark pieces. This isn't a snark piece.
Right.
You know, this one of those.
Folks.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's going to open some eyes. So you don't want to miss next Tuesday's show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two very important segments in next Tuesday's Right Side Patriots right here on RSPRadio1.com. All right, so I've teased this thing from the beginning of the show. I have a surprise topic for Diane. Now, I saw this earlier in the day, and I thought, are you kidding? kidding me? And I did a little research. By God, it is 100% true.
Okay. Okay. What is
It's one of those things that just you're gonna, folks, you're gonna think I'm making this up, and I'm not. Have you heard of Eleanor Holmes Norton?
Yeah, the name
vaguely familiar.
I know she's a politician from years ago.
Well, she is a non-voting congresswoman from Washington, D.C. Okay, yeah. Because D.C. isn't really a state, so they don't get a vote in Congress, but they have a representative there.
Right. Okay,
now, she apparently can do everything that a regular congressperson can do except vote. All right? So, what she has done, she has written a bill. Like I said, you're going to think I'm making this up. She thinks that crash test dummies is a male-dominated world, and she wants female crash test dummies for equality's sake.
Okay, you know what I think of that? The woman is an idiot.
That's exactly what I thought. When I saw this, I thought,
there's no
this
other
can't
way to say it.
When I first saw this, I thought, no, this can't be right. This has got to be some satire thing, right? And then I started looking into it, and holy cow, it's true.
Oh, she's all right? A flaming idiot.
She said, women have achieved equality on the road when it comes to driving, but when it comes to safety testing to keep them safe on the road, they are nowhere near achieving equality. She says, crash test standards are incredibly inaccurate, and we must update these standards now, especially as more people return to their daily commute in the next few months.
And really, what does it matter if you're a male or a female behind the wheel of a car? If you get hit, I mean, hit hard, you're going to die no matter what sex you are.
Well, now,
I mean, this is pure idiocy.
Well, it seems like it to me, okay. But let me toss a couple of things in here. You know, okay. From an internal plumbing standpoint, women are different than men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is a seatbelt gonna do something different to you if you're a woman than if you're a man? Is being in a violent crash going to do something to you as a woman and not as a man? Honestly, I don't know. Okay, but it seems to me, it seems to me that what you're trying to do with a crash test dummy, and I'm not a crash test engineer, but it seems to me what you're trying to do is judge or gauge the amount of force placed on the human body. Okay. So
yeah,
it really
that's what the dummies were originally used for.
Well, and they've got sensors built into them, and they measure G-forces and all sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? Well, the G-forces are going to be the same whether you're male or female in the car. So does it really matter if the crash test dummy looks like a woman or looks like a man? Because once you get the data, then you can apply that physiologically to any differences between men and women. But the dummy itself is simply there to gather data. It could look like a man. It could look like a woman. It doesn't really matter, does it?
No, absolutely not. This is another, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm thinking who she actually is, this is another black woman, I believe.
Yep.
Who's all on board the reparations train, who constantly champions the absurd as far as important issues. This is a waste of time, energy, and us even discussing. It's so such a bunch of idiocy.
Except I got to throw a couple other things into the mix on this.
Okay.
Now, she's upset because the federal safety group, the ones that do all the crash tests, they only use male dummies, and that's got her pissed off. Okay, for equality's sake, we got to have female dummies, right? What about the other 55 genders?
I was just thinking that.
Okay, because if we do male...
Wait a minute. This then proves there are no 55 other genders.
Well, that's my first thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to have male and female crash test dummies, what about the other 55 supposed genders? Shouldn't we have dummies that represent all of them?
No, I think a better thing to do would be take this woman and lock her up in a loony bin.
Well,
seriously, this is the kind of nonsense that is the hallmark of the left.
It is.
This is a waste of time, money, effort, and even talking about. This is pure idiocy by someone who is in it just to cause trouble.
Yeah. Well, point well taken, but, you know, this is the problem. If you ignore these idiots, they tend to gain in strength. You know, this is the type of thing that, as inane as it is and as just butt stupid as it is, needs to be met head on. Somebody needs to sit these people down and go, you know what? The data is the data. We'll let the doctors and the scientists, we'll let them figure out how it affects different people. But if we have to have male and female dummies, then shouldn't we have dummies that started as male dummies and then transitioned into female dummies, and female dummies that started out as female dummies but then transitioned to male dummies?
I wouldn't even give this 1 minute of thought. She put something like this on my desk, it would end up in the garbage in about 10 seconds.
But you know how liberals are, Diane. They're going to look at this and go, you know what? She's right.
Well, liberals are idiots. What do you want? One idiot to another idiot.
I do have the solution. I do.
What is it?
Do away with crash test dummies altogether and just use liberals.
Good solution.
They come in all 57 genders.
That's true. Can we start with the like of the squad and work our way from there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think...
you solved it.
Don't you think that's...
make everybody happy.
Don't you think that's...
all genders, right?
Exactly. Come in all 57 genders and a variety of colors. You
yes.
know, everybody comes in a variety of colors, but, you know, for the most part, it's only liberals that come in 57 flavors.
Oh, dear God. So. It's gotten to this point. You know, the world is laughing at us. And you know what? They have every right to.
Well, when it comes down to things like this, I mean, really? You want to be taken seriously? And this is the bill you put out there? I mean...
a waste of time, energy, money, and even discussing it is just ridiculous. For me, I don't even want to hear this nonsense.
Well, I had to bring it up tonight. We're at the end of the show here, folks, but I had to bring it up tonight because I had the exact same response Diane did, and I thought, I wonder how Diane's going to react to this if I just spring it on her live on the air. Well, I found out.
She got the reaction you thought, I bet.
Well, you reacted to it exactly as I did. What a bunch of idiots. Look, folks, it's Friday. Got to have a little fun at the end of the show on Fridays, right? So I'll tell you what. Thanks for being with us tonight, folks. Like I said, if you missed any part of the show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and bingo, there we are. But with that, Diane, I think it's time for us to wrap this one up.
Okay. Nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you